Thank you, ladies, and thank you for being here this morning. Could somebody close that door, Brother Pichardo, in the corner? That door got left open. Can we close that? Thank you. Thank you for being here. Of course, it's Mother's Day, which is a tremendous, tremendous day. And where would we be without good mothers? I have been blessed in my life. I've had not just good mother. I had a good grandmother, and she was old school, okay? And I'm from a single parent family, and so in the early days, I spent a lot of time with my grandparents, and she was not the typical grandparent, like, oh, do what you want, you get away with it. No, she was very quiet, very loving, and very stern, amen? And I was very, very glad for her. I have a great mother-in-law. She was here recently, and I joke around and say we get along great because she lives 1,200 miles away. But fact of the matter is we could live 12 feet away. She's a wonderful lady. I had a great mom. And I was, as a young person, I got in a lot of trouble and so forth without a father or whatever, but it would have been a lot worse if I would not have had a mom that hung on. And then I'm not just saying this because I have to, but I have to. I have a great wife, and she's a great mother to our kids and great grandmother and spends too much on them. And we had a pumpkin decorating contest. You say you shouldn't do that. Well, then don't do it. And she had all the kids in there, and she goes, okay, we have three winners, you know. And it's like, so-and-so, you won. I'm like, okay. Oh, so-and-so, you won. Like, there's like 12 of them in there. Oh, so-and-so, you won. And then finally, it's like, you all won. And then she's pulling out gifts. I'm like, what is it, Christmas? And we're going broke. But and I'm sure all of us in here, we have great mothers. We've had great ladies influence us in our life. And let's never take that for granted. So for mothers, I want to say thank you. Now, usually on Mother's Day, there's a big difference in most churches between Mother's Day and Father's Day, right? Mother's Day, the pastor gets up and preaches a message on mothers are wonderful, you know, the planets wouldn't align if it wasn't for mothers. And then on Father's Day, we tell you how horrible you are. We don't do that here, by the way. And mothers, you are great, but the message is not about you this morning. I'm sorry. And fellas, come back for Father's Day, and I'll throw flowers at you as well, all right? The message is around our theme. Now, it's not going to be about the building, but our theme for the building is all in. But there are some very good principles related to the Christian life, and I want to go over them for a few weeks. I have found, and if you look and study things in life, that great accomplishments are often done or at least started by individuals, not groups. Largely, if we think about it, the personal computer, you can pick any business you want, the personal computer revolution that started in the late 70s into the 80s when it was becoming more accessible, it was all those companies were founded by usually a man. Someone that had a vision. Michael Dell, Bill Gates. You don't need to follow him anymore, though, by the way. And a lot of different other individuals. Why are people like that? Because some people see something that needs to be done, and they're willing to be the one to make it happen and to change the world. Now, I've given this illustration in the past, but Steve Jobs, when he was very young, and Apple was very young, and it was growing, and he was more into making the computers. He didn't want to run the company, so he decided he needed a CEO. And so he looked around, and he liked the guy that was running Pepsi. And he thought, this guy knows what he's doing. He can come run the company, and I'll be the creative guy. So he went to New York, and he sat down with them, and he was trying to talk them in to leave Pepsi. And this guy had a good job. He was making good money. Pepsi's a pretty solid product, unless you like Coke, right? And so he's trying to talk him into it, and the guy's name was Scully, John Scully, and he wasn't having it. You know, he was just kind of sitting there on the fence like, thanks for interviewing me. And finally, Steve Jobs got up, and he slammed the desk, and he said, listen, man, do you want to spend the rest of your life making sugar water, or do you want to come with me and change the world? And he talked him into it. Now, he fired him 6 years later, but he talked him into it. People want to be involved with something that makes a difference. And it usually starts with individuals. And if we're the type of person that's looking around waiting for everybody to jump on board for something, we're never going to accomplish anything in our life. Think of families. It is Mother's Day, and then we'll move on from that. You know, what difference mothers have made in their families because they cared. Last week, we looked at Nehemiah and how he accomplished the task of repairing and rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem in just 52 days. Nehemiah is one of the great characters of the Bible. He got a lot of great things done. He was an official servant to the king. There was a group of Jews that came to where he was at serving the king, and he heard about how horrible things were, the conditions were in Jerusalem. Now he could have just thought, well, that's sad, you know, my people are struggling. I'll just, you know, things are okay for me and I'll pray for them and that type of thing. But he wasn't like that. He saw the destruction and God worked on him and he wanted to go make a difference. And he went back to Jerusalem and he rebuilt the wall in 52 days, and the wall had been destroyed for 100 years. Nobody had done anything about it. But he said, God wants me to do something about it. And he went and he got it done. As I said, when God wants to do something, let's make it more spiritual. When God wants to do something, he usually starts with an individual to get things going. Yeah. You think of King Hezekiah. Hezekiah's dad was one of the, the king before him was horrific. His father, and it was in a mess. The temple was shut down and it was closed. And what happened? He became king, and on the first day, he went and said, temple's open for business. And he changed the country. You think of King Josiah, same thing. He cleansed the temple. And by one of the kings around the time of Hezekiah and Josiah was Manasseh. And he was horrible. He was king for like 55 years, and he was killing people. He was horrible. God just did not get back in on him. And it was so bad, God said, you're the last nail in the coffin. But even though he was so bad that they were going to go into captivity, Josiah did everything he can. And during his reign, he made a huge difference. He found the scripture which had been lost, and he started getting it out to the people. You think of John the Baptist, who was the messenger to prepare the way for the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, God uses individuals to make a difference. You want to have a better marriage? Maybe one mouth, if it's struggling, maybe one spouse can get that going. You see, what we do in anything is we sit back and say, well, I'm waiting for somebody else to do something. But there's only one person that you can control, and that person is you. Amen. Maybe God will use a parent or a mother to make a difference in a family. Maybe God will use a Christian to make a difference if they're in a family of people who are not primarily Christian. God may use a church member to make a difference in the spiritual atmosphere of a ministry or a church. God uses individuals. But you got to have the right kind of spirit. You got to have the right kind of attitude. And we see that in chapter 1 with Nehemiah. And I understand, I see what the time is here, and I see that it's a little bit late and it's Mother's Day and you want to go have a Mother's Day meal. We will not be long. I will talk fast. You will listen fast, we will get out of here fast, and then you can eat fast, okay? Or you can fast. So what are some of the attitudes we need if we're going to be an individual who is all in and makes a difference? First of all, there must be a concern in spiritual causes. Look at verse 4 of chapter 1. And it came to pass when I heard these words. What words? The words that he had heard about how horrible things and conditions were in Jerusalem. He heard these words. He heard about the situation and what happened. And it came to pass when he heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. He had a secure position in Persia. But he heard that there was a need in Jerusalem. And his concern would not allow him to be blind to his duty. Now, what about us? Do we have a concern for spiritual issues? By the way, we ought to have a concern for the spiritual cause of our country. Our country is a mess. And by the way, this isn't just a political thing. Although, if I'm being honest, there's one group that's way worse than the others. There's one group that's going ballistic because they want to murder unborn children. And if the people in our state have their way, you can allow your child to die up to 7 days at least after it's born, and they will not be held responsible. And it's easy for me to get a political, it's a spiritual cause. I'm sickened by what's going on in our country. I'm sickened by what's going on in our public schools, our government-run schools, the things there. Children can't read or write, but they're becoming confused about their gender. When you have a school system that is as young as 4 and 5 in first and second grade, will tell them, when you were born, the doctor told you you were either a boy or a girl. Sometimes the doctor's wrong. Now I'm blowing the whole thing, so I got to back up here. But that's a spiritual issue. It's a spiritual issue. This country needs Jesus Christ. Do we care about that? There's a spiritual cause of reaching people in this world. We got to get the gospel out. The gospel is what changes people. The gospel and the truth is what brings people to a place where God will take them out of that garbage and help them to have a spiritual mindset. There has to be a spiritual cause of being a member and a contributor and working in the ministries and helping people through the church. By the way, your family should be a spiritual cause. You ought to care about your children. You ought to care about your marriage. You ought to care about all of you. You ought to just have a spiritual concern. Your marriage is a spiritual cause. And the fact of the matter is, being a representative of Jesus Christ in this world is a spiritual cause. But you know what keeps some people from following a spiritual cause and being all in? We look at what has been accomplished already as opposed to what is left to be done. We become comfortable in the small measure of Christianity in which we have in our life, and we're willing to be okay with that, and we kind of put a governor on how far we'll go for God. We put a governor, not a governor like ours, a governor like a plateau on what we're willing to do to help others. So people that have a concern for spiritual causes, they don't do that. Used to have when I was too young to have a car or a driver's license, I had a moped. Remember when you probably don't remember my age group, those were big. That's before I upgraded to a real motorcycle. But you didn't really need a permit or anything to drive those. So I got one of those things. They only went like 30 miles an hour, unless you took the governor out. So I ripped the little muffler off. I took the governor out. I poked holes in the bottom of the muffler, so that thing would go 45. It was like a bike. Okay, and I didn't slow down when I turned corners. But once I took the governor off, that thing was pretty quick. I didn't want to be limited. You know, we put a governor on our Christian life. Well, you know, I'm good with where I'm at. Listen, we don't have time for that. Your family doesn't have time for that. Your children don't have time for that. Our church, we don't have time for that. Our country, we've got to be all in. Amen. Do you understand that God can use you to make a difference? Secondly, if we're going to be all in individual, we must have a confidence in divine ability. Look at verse 5. So Nehemiah is weeping and he's emotional and he's in on the spiritual cause. Verse 5, he goes, "And I beseech thee, O God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments, let thine ear now be attentive. And thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray thee now, day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house." And he goes on. What's he saying here? He's saying, Lord, I need your help. He had this concern for spiritual things, but he realized nothing would happen without divine help. Yep. And he immediately goes to God. And he's not just confessing what's going on in his life. He's confessing as part of the Israelites who had turned their back on God. He wanted God. He had a belief that God, if he went to God, God could help him. And the confidence we see is in his prayer. Look at verse 11. He says, "Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of God, for I was the king's cupbearer." He said, Lord, I believe that you can do something. Prosper us. He already had in his heart, and God was formulating what he wanted to do about it. He was the king's cupbearer, and he's going to go to the king and say, you know, I need you to let me off for a while. By the way, we'll talk about that in a second. That was dangerous. But he said he had a divine confidence that God could do something through him. As I mentioned before, as I look about what's going on around us, and I'm not griping about our nation, although I'm griping about our nation. I'm looking at it from a standpoint of what can we do? What difference we may not be able to change this country. I'll just be honest with you. Our country has spit in the face of God. Look, we're making Sodom and Gomorrah look like a Baptist playground. But you know what? The problem is a lot of churches are becoming less and less Christian. The average Christian, your belief system is no different than the average person that doesn't know Jesus Christ. I wouldn't fuss with somebody that doesn't know Jesus. They don't know. It would be easy to just give up and not think that God can make a difference in people's lives anymore. But that's a lie. Do you understand that the darker things get in a society, the brighter the light shines? And by the way, it would help, and this is Myersology. If you don't like it, that's okay. It would help if we would turn CNN off, MSNBC, and all these other stupid news networks. I would get suicidal. By the way, CNN would probably be out of business if it wasn't for airports and lobbies. You walk by and it's like, I'm depressed just reading the little stupid headline underneath. You know, maybe we quit looking at that like, you know what? Look around you. People still want to come to church. There are people that are like, I'm confused. I need an answer here. And you know what? The Bible has the answer. Amen. We don't have to look around us and like, oh, this is all horrible. Like, no. God can do great things still. He may not ever completely change our country, but you know what? He can make a change in a great amount of people. But he needs somebody to help take the word. Do you believe that God can make a difference in somebody's life? Look around. Has he made a difference in your life? If he's made a difference in your life, I'm pretty sure he can make a difference in somebody else's. So you have to have a belief in God's divine power. Then, if we're going to be all in an individual that makes a difference, there must be a cooperation in God's purpose. If you look at verse 11 again, he's not just praying there. You know what he's saying? Lord, when he says prosper us, you know what he's saying? He was already starting to get the spiritual plan in his mind. He was already starting to get the juices were flowing, right? And he was starting to get ready like, I'm going to do something. I want to be in part of this. And he's telling God, I want you to do something, but Lord, I'm willing to jump in and help. By the way, I heard a message. It sounds heretical, but it's not. You know, God helps them who help themselves. Now, that sounds heretical, but here's the point. We want God to do something, and we don't want to lift a finger. You know, Lord, help me to quit drinking, and then we go hang out at places where there's alcohol. And that's not the message for this morning, but maybe that was a word of knowledge for you. You know, I want to do the right thing, but I want to hang out in the wrong spots. No, God gives his power, and we're trying to do the right thing, and as we try to do the right thing, and we're asking God for power, he'll empower us so we can do the right thing. But he's not going to do it if we don't want to do the right thing. And it wasn't just Nehemiah being fatalistic, saying, I want the wall built. Have at it, Lord. He was already saying, I'm in. What do you want me to do? I'll be a part of this thing. See, some of us, we want people to be helped. We want the gospel to get out, but we're not willing to talk to anybody. We're not willing to help anybody. We're not willing to at least lift a finger. God says, if you lift a finger, I'll take over from there. We have to do the work, and it's not our work that makes a difference, but at least we're giving God something to use. Nehemiah realized he had a responsibility. Let me just say this. God doesn't need more cheerleader Christians. We get excited when we see somebody else scoring points. By the way, let me say this. I don't know why a guy would ever want to be a cheerleader. We went to one of the Rams games got suspended till like Tuesday. So a couple of my sons and I, we went to the Rams game. They brought the cheerleaders out. I don't watch the cheerleaders, Troy. I'm sure you don't either. They had guys on her. And I'm like, I would rather be caught dead. Say, what's that to do with the message? I don't know. But you know, we're yay, something good happened, yay. But you never got involved. I don't want to be a cheerleader. I want to jump in. I don't want to be a bumper sticker Christian. You know, by the way, yeah, I'm a bumper sticker. I know, you cut people off on the freeway. That's why we don't pass out, I love Pacific Baptist bumper stickers, because I know how you drive. By the way, that's why I didn't paint the shuttle bus to say Pacific Baptist Church, because the first week I cut somebody off. It was accidental. I realized it wasn't as fast as a regular car. I don't want to be a bystander Christian. We just are there to see what happens. I don't want to be an absentee Christian. I'm never around, but I'm getting updates as to what's going on. No, I want to be a committed Christian. I'm all in. I want to be a contributing Christian. I'm participating and helping. And I want to be convinced. I want to have the right motivation that God can do something. Next, we're almost done. If we're going to be an all-in individual, there must be a courage in fulfilling the cause. What do you mean? What's the courage? If you look at the first five verses of Nehemiah 5, for sake of time, we won't go to them. He goes before the king, and he's a little bit sad. By the way, when we think of kings, think of these kings as they were pretty radical. If you came in and you were sad and they didn't want to be sad, you lost your life. They could do what they wanted. And he comes in, the king's like, what's going on? And he tells him the situation. Why is he telling the situation? He wanted the king to allow him to go. By the way, that took guts. Yeah. King could care less. You're my employee. I don't want to hear it. But yet that's why he prayed, and he was willing to have courage to say, if I got to go, I've got to get leave from the king. And guess what? The king gave him leave. Yep. But he had to have the courage to ask him. Remember the book of Esther, right? Esther, they're going to kill all the Jews. You better go talk to your husband, the king, and let him know. The king, he didn't even know that Esther was a Jew. And she didn't want to do it. Mordecai says, don't you realize you were placed there for such a time as this? And she had the courage to go before the king, which if she went before the king without being asked, her life was in her hands. It takes courage. By the way, we all like safety. We don't want to step out. We're like, let me just be part of the crowd. Sometimes you got to say, forget the crowd. I'm stepping forward. Do you understand the crowd's usually wrong? You need to say, look, good people are good people, but if I got to step out, I'm stepping out. And he was willing to step out. And understand this, he acted with faith and courage. And by the way, courage is not the absence of fear, it's acting in the face of it. It's not, well, you know, I have some fear, I shouldn't do that. No, courage says, yeah, I have some fear and things could go wrong here, but the cause is way too important, I'm going for it. And faith is not the absence of it. It's believing in spite of seeing things that say no. I mean, everything around Nehemiah is like, no one's done anything for 100 years. I'm stuck here being the king's thing. How come no one else is doing this? He's like, I'm going to go for it. By the way, I like that kind of spirit. We must have courage. What's the point this morning? The point is, we got to be all in. We have to be all in if we're going to accomplish anything. And we can't just sit on the sidelines. And we can't just wait for somebody else. You know what you know what you'll find when you get all in? You'll find other people that maybe weren't as courageous as you that say, I'll help. I'll jump in. Now, how's your Christian life? Have you been kind of sitting back on the sidelines? Kind of like, I just don't want to. The world has so beat us down in recent years that if you say something they don't agree with, you're shouted down. And so Christians are quiet. And I'm not saying this is a political thing. I'm just saying I'm not afraid to say I'm a Christian. I'm not afraid to say I believe the Bible. Oh, you're a hate monger. I didn't say I hate anybody. In fact, the matter is, because I'm a Christian, I love people, even people I disagree with. even people that hold to things that I think are horrific and I love them, and I wish the best for them, but you know what? Just because I love them and want the best for them, I'm not going to be quiet, and I'm not going to say what I believe. Let's be all in everything that we will do. If you're trying to live for Christ, you see, sometimes people, I tried that Christianity thing, didn't work. You don't try it. You got to live it. You got to be all in. If you're not 100% in, I'm sorry, you're not getting everything out of it, and you're going to just kind of float. You got to say, you know what, I'm all in. Lord, what do you want? I'll do it. Lord, what am I? I'm in. I want to do it. By the way, that's where the blessing is. Let's stand together this morning. Thank you for listening. I talked a little bit fast here. Are you willing to be a difference maker? A difference maker. It took one person, Nehemiah, to do something that had not even been attempted for 100 years. People were used to it. Well, that's just how it is. We just have to live in the country. We have to live in the city. And things are hard because, you know, and the enemy can get us. It just, let's be careful. And Nehemiah's like, no, 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 that's not how it works. God wants that thing fixed. Sometimes we look at things in our life. Well, you know, that's just how my marriage is. You know, and we all joke around, the honeymoon phase is over, blah, 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 blah. Listen, it doesn't have to end. You don't have to settle for a second-rate marriage, a second-rate family, a second-rate Christianity, or a second-rate life. Let's be all in. Let's go for it. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, and I'm going to do it 100%. I started going to church. I'd been saved for 2 years. I was living a godless life. I had all kinds of nonsense in my life. I went to church 4 Sunday mornings, 4. That's all it took. And after 4, I'm like, I better get all in or I'm quitting. And I'm like, I'm in. Have you been perfect? Nope. But I'm trying to go forward. By the way, I don't regret a minute of it. I don't. I hope you're all in. Now, let me ask one more question before we open the altar for the invitation. You can't be all in for Christ if you're not one of His. Here's the question. Are you 100% for sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven, or do you have any doubt? I don't want to just come up and preach motivational message. This is not a spiritual TED Talk. I don't have time for that. And I'd be doing you a disservice to send you out all motivated to go accomplish something if you don't know Jesus Christ. Are you a Christian today? So what does that even mean? That means you know 100% for sure without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven when you die, and you can give a scriptural reason. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, just for 1 minute, if this is you, and you would say, Pastor, I'm not 100% for sure if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Pastor, would you pray for me? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if that's you, just raise your hand real quick until I see it, put it down, I'll pray for you. Anybody like that at all? Yes, see your hand over here. Piano's going to play. Maybe God spoke to you about something. Maybe there's specific areas in your life where you're just kind of settling for something instead of attempting something greater. Piano's going to play. If God spoke to you at all, why don't you come? Why don't you come?